When were you born? Where were you born? These are two characteristics that help to identify you. In our lesson today, we are going to look at when the church began and where it began. These are also two characteristics of the church. Please stay tuned.
And now, John Grubb.
Welcome to our program. We're studying basic facts of the faith. And in our last program, we were discussing why Jesus came to this earth to save people from sin, to purchase His church, and now to find the church that Jesus built. How do we find the church that Jesus built? We find the church just the way we find anything or any person in the world. Characteristics. If we're looking for the automobile that we drive, we look for the vehicle that has the correct color. It is the correct make and model. If we drive a red Ford automobile, we do not look for a black Mercedes-Benz. We know that is not our car. It is not our automobile. If we have a 10-year-old daughter and we're looking for our child in a crowd, we don't look for an 8-year-old boy. We look for the child that has the characteristics of our child. If we're looking for the church that Jesus built, we also look for the one church that has not just some of the characteristics of the church that Jesus built, but all of those characteristics. We identify people, we identify things by characteristics. The same is true with the church. There's only one church that Jesus built. He told us that in Matthew 16 and verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. Even though it may seem to be that there are churches that exist in the world that are like the church that Jesus built, or they may seem to be the church that Jesus built. Unless a church has all of the characteristics of the church we read about in the New Testament, that church cannot be the church Jesus built. Where do we find the characteristics of Jesus' church? The characteristics of the church Jesus built are recorded in the New Testament. And so we look at the New Testament. And once we find these characteristics of Jesus' church, we can compare His church with all of the thousands of the churches in the world and see which one has the same characteristics as the church Jesus built. The angel Gabriel said in Luke 1:33, "And He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end." The church Jesus built still exists. By using the characteristics found in the Bible, we can identify that church and become a part of it. Yes, Jesus only promised to build one church. Therefore, the rest of the churches that exist today were started by men, not by God. The way we can be sure The church we are in is the church Jesus built, is to look at the characteristics. And so, in our lesson, we now look at the characteristics of the church Jesus built. We first learn when did the church Jesus built begin? When did Jesus build His church? We can learn the answer to this question by looking at some scriptures together. In Matthew 16, beginning in verse 18, Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. Jesus tells us in this passage that at this time, Matthew 16, 18 and 19, the church had not yet started, because He said, "I will build my church." At the time Jesus made this statement, the church had not yet started. Also in this passage, He tells us the kingdom and the church are the same. He says, "I will build my church, and I will give unto thee," or give unto you, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus, when He talks about the church, is also talking about His kingdom. As recorded in Mark 9 and verse 1, "And He said to them, Assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." In Mark 9:1, the kingdom had not yet come. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," that was in the future. When Jesus said in Mark 9:1, that there are some who are standing here who will still be alive when the kingdom begins, that means the kingdom was still in the future. The church was also still in the future when Jesus died on the cross, because Joseph, who buried Christ, was still waiting for the kingdom. Mark 15:43. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. So here's Joseph of Arimathea. He was someone who was waiting for the kingdom. And at the time Jesus died on the cross, he was still waiting for the kingdom. Then Jesus told His apostles, after He rose from the dead, to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the power to come. Luke 24, beginning in verse 46. "Then He said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." That's Luke 24:46 through 49. In a parallel passage, Acts chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, records the same information. Jesus says to His apostles, For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They wouldn't ask that question if the kingdom had already come. If the church had already began, the apostles would not ask that question concerning the kingdom. Jesus says, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So in these passages, we see that at the time that Jesus had risen from the dead, and then in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, He had ascended into heaven. The kingdom, the church, had not yet come. As the first chapter of the book of Acts closes, the church or kingdom had not yet come. In Acts 5 and verse 11, the Bible records, so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. We see in this passage, Acts 5 and verse 11, the church has already started. Later, Paul wrote, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed unto us the kingdom of the Son of His love. What has He done? He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How could we be conveyed into the kingdom if it did not yet exist? But in Colossians 1:13, Paul says, the kingdom exists. In this passage, Paul tells us the kingdom is already here. And then even later, the Apostle John wrote in Revelation 1, verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Revelation 1, 9, the kingdom is already in existence. The kingdom had not yet started at the death of Christ, at the resurrection of Christ, at the ascension of Christ back to heaven. But from Acts chapter 5, the church, the kingdom, was in existence. The church, therefore, started sometime between the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ and Acts chapter 5. Somewhere in between, the church began. To find the time, we can turn to Acts chapter 2. It was the first Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead, about AD 30, that Christ kept His promise to build His church. If a church has its beginning at any other time, it cannot be the church Jesus promised to build. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Bible records, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They refers to the apostles. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where the apostles were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the first century, the apostles were together, and we know it was the apostles, because in Acts chapter 1, the last verse, It says the apostles worked together. The chapters and verses were added many centuries after the Bible was written. So when we look at the context of this reading, those plural pronouns refer back to chapter 1, the apostles. The apostles were now able to speak foreign languages without studying. My family and I spent 10 years learning Chinese in Taiwan. 2 years full-time in language school. So I am able to speak Chinese, but I cannot do it like the apostles could. They did not have to study. In order to speak in a different language, the Holy Spirit gave them that power miraculously. And so when I quote Matthew 16 and verse 18 in Chinese, well, hai gao su ni, ni shi bi de. Well, yeah, ba wo de jiao hui. Jin zao zai zhe pan shi sheng. Yin jian de qian bing, bu neng sheng guo ta. That's where Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I had to study a long time to be able to do that. The apostles did not have to study to learn languages. And so in Acts 2, here are the apostles speaking different languages to show the people that were there on the day of Pentecost. The things that we say are not from us, they're from God. And so Peter begins in verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, and he preaches the first gospel sermon, and he tells the people that Jesus rose from the dead. And in verse 36 he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added unto them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then verse 47 of Acts chapter 2 ends saying, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So we learn when the church began. It began on the first Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. That was about A.D. 30. It's not enough to say that the church began on the day of Pentecost, because Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, and people today still celebrate Pentecost. So we have to be specific. Which Pentecost? The first Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead. The Pentecost of Acts chapter 2. That is the first century A.D., about A.D. 30. So we know when the church began now. That is one of the characteristics of the church. Now we want to find out where it began. Upon learning when the church began, it becomes very easy to see where it began. We just have to see where they were when the church began, and we will have the answer. In Acts chapter 2, they were in the city of Jerusalem. This was according to prophecy. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3. Where would the word of the Lord begin? From Jerusalem. Luke 24, 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24 and verse 47. The church Jesus built began in Jerusalem. If a church started in a place other than Jerusalem, it cannot be the church Jesus promised to build. Note where they were in Acts chapter 2, verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And then verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. So now we've learned two characteristics of the church that Jesus built. We've learned when the church began, the first Pentecost after Jesus rose from the dead. And we've learned where the church began, in the city of Jerusalem. Where is Jerusalem, by the way? It is in the Middle East. It is in the nation of Israel. There are many places in the world that have the name Jerusalem. But the church Jesus built began in the Jerusalem that is in Israel in the Middle East. And if a church began in any other place at any other time, that church cannot be the church Jesus built. If a church began in the 6th century A.D., in the country of Italy, in the city of Rome, that church cannot be the church Jesus built, because the church Jesus built did not begin in the 6th century A.D. It began in the 1st century. It did not begin in Rome. It began in Jerusalem. If a church began in Europe in the 1500s, that church cannot be the church Jesus built, because His church began in Jerusalem in the 1st century, not in the 16th century. If a church began in the United States of America in the 19th century, that church cannot be the church Jesus built, because the church Jesus built began in the 1st century in the city of Jerusalem. You see, we're looking for the church that Jesus built. And the church Jesus built must have all of the characteristics. In our next lesson, we're going to note the name given to the church that Jesus built. Because if we're going to find the church that Jesus built, it must also have the right name. It's not enough for it to be built at the right time. in the right place, it also has to have the right name. I was born in Terre Haute, Indiana, in the United States of America, on June 14th, 1953. And, of course, you know my name is John Grubb. If you're looking for the John Grubb who was born in Terre Haute, Indiana, United States of America, June 14th, 1953, you have to have all of those characteristics. Was anybody else born in my hometown on June 14th, 1953? I'm sure there was. But their name is different from mine. It's possible that somebody has my name, maybe born on the same day as me, but in another town. You see, we're looking for the church that has every characteristic.